Okay, well, we thank God for the opportunity to go through a series of family, and I believe many of the people are here because they want to learn. Many people are not here, so they want to learn, but they can't make it. I'm hoping that more people will come, pray for AA2 to come faster, but I intend to start a bit earlier because there are a lot of things to cover. We're going to be dividing the raising up children in the family into three parts, okay? Today is the first one, next week, and then the third, thank you, and then the third week, alright? The reason for that is this, as I was going through in trying to get an idea, trying to explain many of the things that are relevant for children and bring up children, I found that there's just thousands of things, okay, that you can talk about in child rearing. I just off one light. Just this one. Okay. Thank you. Okay. There's just thousands of things that you can talk about. But I was thinking through, to be honest with you, many things happened this week. Many things happened this week. Within, without, loss of Paul, I was at the hospital, not me, but someone else, and many things happened, but the Lord is still in control, and we want God to be honored even in our families, okay? So I just want to lay down for children, if you are here today, you will hear from the adults what we are supposed to do, okay? And when you hear what we are supposed to do, you are supposed to respond the proper way. Okay, according to what God says. Right, Joseph, you're smiling. That's good. Okay. All right. For the teenagers, as you grow up, you are going into a next phase of life. After these 3 weeks, I'll be talking about bringing up teenagers in the family. Okay, that's another challenge. All right. Believe it. That is another challenge. Okay, children is just one small part. Then next chance is the teenagers. Then I'm still thinking about young adults here. Then we will be looking at for the teenagers. You'll be looking at. We also at least understand why parents behave in certain ways. Okay, for children, it will be an eye opener for you. I hope why my mom and my dad behave in a certain way. Okay, and then we're going to be talking about as parents, what is our responsibility? Okay, today we'll be talking mainly. I'll just give you the scope. Today we will be basically, today we will be basically dealing with this impact of how we bring up children, and I want all of us to understand there is a big impact as parents. Whatever we do, what we say, how we do our things, what even we think will affect our children, whether they are teenagers or children, young children or adult, even adult children, the children gets affected, okay? And then I want to highlight the principle of responsibility from the Bible, and then the principle of authority in the Bible, and this is very important, both for fathers, alright, there's only two of us here, but I'm hoping for more to come, and I hope many people will listen on the internet, but also for mothers to understand the principle of authority, and then for the children also to understand the principle of authority. That's very important, alright? As parents, we have the authority, after we talk about where the Bible, and then what are the children's responsibilities towards that, okay? Then we'll look at the definition of child training. What does training up a child mean? And then I'll tell you three things that we must teach our children. Okay, we must teach these three things as we grow up. Okay, let's have a word of prayer before we start. Okay, let's pray. Lord, we commit this hour into your hands or less. We know, Father, that thy Holy Spirit is the teacher. Father, I pray you take thy servant and put him behind the cross. And may everything that is said, Lord, reflect the holiness and the love of Christ. And that, Father, everything that comes out, Lord, will be unto the ministering of the soul. For, Father, we love you first of all. And, Lord, we want our families to honor you. I thank you for everyone that is here. I pray for those who are still coming. Oh, God, hasten their journey so that they can be here to hear the teaching of your word. And help us to understand it in the proper perspective that we might grow in Christ and our families might be strong for you. Father, thank you for what you're going to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. All right. Let's go. I'll just start off with this particular passage. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 32, verse 45 to 47, Moses actually told the children of Israel, this is in Deuteronomy, he's going to die. This is in chapter 32, okay? He's going to die. Deuteronomy has how many chapters? 34 chapters, okay? So, Moses is going to die. He's telling the children of Israel, listen, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify unto you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe to do all the words of this law. For it is a meaningless thing. The word vain means meaningless. It is not a meaningless thing for you, because it is your life. And through this ye shall prolong your days in the land whither ye go over Jordan to possess it. Deuteronomy means the second law. It is the second time that Moses gives the law to the children of Israel. And at the second time, towards the end of his life, he's telling the children of Israel, I want you to listen, because you have to teach your children. That is what he says, isn't it? Which ye shall command your children to observe to do. And that is a very important principle. We don't just hear the word of God. Many people come to church today, they hear God's word, they go home, they do absolutely zero about it. Maybe that's why we have weak Christianity. But if you look at the Bible, consistently is to hear and do. Hear and do. Okay? Now, some thoughts from here. There are three thoughts here. The Bible says you are to set your hearts unto all the words of God. There is not to be any favorites or a buffet style type of Christianity. And then as the children of Israel, we are to command our children to observe and to do what God says. And finally, as if as a incentive, Moses said, because it is your life. Okay, if you look at, because it is your life. And what does that mean? The word life there in the Hebrew means strong. It means fresh. It means appetite. Okay. Let's take this. Okay. This. Okay, that's why you listen now. Listen to. Okay. So in Deuteronomy 32, Moses says, you need to set your hearts on all the words you shall command your children to observe to do, because it is your life. You know what that means? It means it is strong, it is fresh, it is your appetite, and it is your living. What Moses is saying is, when you hear the word of God and do it, you will have abundant life. Your life will be fresh. Your life will be overflowing. Your life, you will have an appetite for life. Many people today don't have appetites for life. Many people today live life. Like today I was, we were just at the shop and save. Then we were just walking along, just observing. There was this, just happened to be a Filipino family. Okay, just happened to be. Alright, it was over there. And that mom was doing something, and dad was behind her. And then there was these two children just at the side, okay? And the children were, the older one was playing a computer game, and the younger one was inside the stroller, obviously doing something as well. And I was just thinking to myself, how many people in this world actually actively raise children so that there is a clear direction for their lives? Okay, after this we'll talk about the impact. But you know what? Children are growing up today with many parents busy doing their work, but not really caring about their growth. Many children are growing up today in families whereby it's supposed to be a family, but you know what? Basically, they just do what they want. When they want it, how they want it, and basically they just kind of bum around. I'll use that word, bum. And they'll hang out with their friends. At last time in the 1980s, McDonald's just came in. Okay, so they have the McDonald's kids. And McDonald's kids, basically people, are those people who hang out at McDonald's. Then there's Centerpoint kids, the CP kids. And what else? Now there's Starbucks kids, I suppose. People who hang out at Starbucks, you know. And they just kind of hang out, or Subway kids or something like that. And many of these people, many of these children are growing up without a sense of direction. And you know what many people actually say? Where does the problem lie? Okay? Let me just look at how, what impact, is there an impact on how we bring up our families? This is from a secular author, okay? And he says this, parents influence the development of attitudes, values, politics, and religion of a child. It is not the single act of parenting, but a combination of parents' interactions that defines a parenting style. In other words, how you actually interact with your children or do not interact with your children. A person's style of parenting affects the choices and decisions of a child makes in life. This is very important. The way we talk to our children actually affects, or how we interact with our children actually affects the way they make decisions in life. Okay, we'll talk about four. And after I explain why, I'll bring up these four, okay? There are four styles, if you were to search the internet, all right? Generally, it's taught also in EPIC centers, early intervention centers, where I do some work there. And they're teaching parents, generally, there are four ways of bringing up children, the authoritarian way, okay? After I will define some of the authoritarian parenting. Then there's authoritative, it's different, huh? There's a spelling different, but it's a total change of meaning. Then there's a permissive parenting. And then, there's non-involved parenting. Okay? So these are the four areas now. What are their differences and what are the things to look out for? In an authoritarian way of parenting, children are expected to follow strict rules. Failure to follow results in punishment. It's the Hitler type of parenting. You do or die. Okay, basically. No reasons for punishment. I say means I say. No reasons for punishment. You don't do, I whack you. Okay? And you cannot, no protest. No protest. There are high demands placed on the children oftentimes. Do this, do that, do this, do that, do this, do that, do this, do that, do this, do that. Why you do that? You know, that kind of thing. And why you do that? Why you do it? And but then generally not very responsive to the children. Meaning that the children may, basically the children are supposed to do, and supposed to be soldiers, follow orders, alright? The commanding, and that's it. You have to do or you die, okay? You do or you don't, you will, when I was younger, there were many things that happened. Not my mom, but someone else, all right. And they even tie me to the leash, kind of thing, you know. And that kind of authoritarian type of parenting. Okay, now this kind of all right. Let's see, and the poor child is like ah. Okay, now what are the outcomes of this authoritarianistic style? Okay. The Bible says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. There is, I won't go into a lot of this, I'll talk about that later. I just want to highlight the style. Can I say this? Children get affected by the kind of style. Alright, I'm not even using the secular way, it's just generally children get affected. Authoritarian parenting style generally leads to children who are obedient and proficient, like the tiger mom. Have you read the tiger mom? Is that tiger mom? Tiger mom, right? Tiger mom, you practice for 4 hours, go taller so cannot, unless you hit the correct note, all right, that kind of thing, okay? Obedient and proficient, but they rank low in happiness, social competence, and self-esteem. Now, I'll talk about that a bit later, okay? Remember, I'm using secular research, okay, as a springboard, all right, to what we're talking about. The next one, authoritative. Now, this is a different type of parenting style. They still establish clear rules and general guidelines, but and the children are expected to follow. However, this approach actually listens to the children. In other words, the parent who does this, I've set these rules, but then when the children speak, say, okay, there's some reason. Oh, I forgot to mention, for authoritarian parenting, a parent doesn't listen to reasons, okay? Refuse to reason. And parents generally are unreasonable. You cannot reason with them. Authoritarian. Authoritative, on the other sense, is actually you listen to the children. Okay, the children, oh, you cannot, very tired. Oh, you're tired, never mind, you finish these three psalms, then you go and do. So there's that talking, there's that discussion, and children generally have to follow, but they know that they have been listened to. Okay? When children fail, now this is important, when children fail, the parents are more nurturing, meaning that it's okay. Well, let's try harder the next time. Try harder the next time. Or why did you fail? Okay? They're more nurturing and forgiving rather than immediately punishing. Okay? Okay, this is kind of fun, alright? Okay. Authoritative outcomes start tend to be result in children who are happy, capable, and successful. Now, this is part of a research they did of 100 preschoolers. Okay? In 1992. Next one. Permissive parents. Okay, have you seen this before? Parents are generally indulgent. Ah, it's okay, just eat out whatever you eat. Me and my wife, we went to Perth many years ago. We had this very interesting parent. Okay, the child was about 3 or 4 years old. And because we were leaving already, so he brought us to a restaurant. Okay, a restaurant to eat. And Jeremiah was there already. And she was pretty young, so she was in the high chair, I believe. And then, but this particular 4-year-old, he didn't really eat his food. And so he was playing and he had this drink, okay, this Coke. And instead of eating his rice, he was putting his rice in the cup and water, and pouring water inside. He was doing and stirring the rice inside the glass of water. Children are laughing. Don't you dare do that. Okay. And so, but anyway, me and my wife were kind of, okay, I can't remember how he responded. And we kind of just bring out certain things to him. And his philosophy is this. I still remember him saying, it's okay, you don't eat nama as long as it's, it's okay, let him do whatever he wants. Okay, and basically he was putting tomato sauce everywhere and just a mess. It's like, okay, I don't want to be seen with him ever again. In a kind of permissive parents, indulgent, few demands in the children. It's okay, you want to sleep what time you want to sleep, it's okay. You want to eat this, it's okay. Oh, you don't want to eat, it's okay. Just tell me what you want, I'll buy for you. They rarely discipline their children. Like that, oh, just okay, well, I mean, no problem, why? And generally, they may give a reason, I just want them to be happy. Okay. Low expectations of maturity and self-control. In other words, they don't expect the children to grow. They just kind of, just do what you want. Very lenient, often want to be a friend over the child rather than a parent. Okay, you want to be a friend. And have you heard of parents? I just want to be my children's friend. After, the Bible has something to say about that. And lastly, permissive parents avoid confrontation with the children. Okay? Just read this. Read this. You know what the dad is asking the child to do? You want to take some drugs with me? Okay, he said, I'm sorry, son, but I'm just not ready to be your father now. Can we just be friends? Permissive parenting often results in children who rank low in happiness and self-regulation. In other words, they cannot control themselves. They're running over the place. They have no control over themselves. These children are more likely to experience problems with authority because at home there's no authority yet. And they tend to perform poorly in school. Okay? Last one. Uninvolved parents. Few demands, low responsiveness. You wanna? Then you go back and just do. These are the type of parents who come back from work, read newspaper and just go on the computer. Okay? Uninvolved. Little communication. They fulfill children's basic needs but are detached from the child's life. Basically, have you heard of parents say, I don't know, you're going to ask my wife. Huh? Don't know, go ask my wife, the uninvolved parent. And usually, they may even go to the point of neglect. Okay? Uninvolved parenting styles rank lowest across all life domains. These children tend to lack self-control. They cannot control themselves. They have low confidence and are less competent than their peers. Why? They have no exposure. No one bothers to teach them. I'm going to deal with that next week. All right? This is taken from Journal of Early Adolescence. 1991, The Influence of Parenting Style on Adolescent Competence and Substance Use or Substance Abuse. Okay? So, the outcomes of this. Any questions? Now, let me ask you a question. What is wrong with this four The four parenting styles are observations made by people. Observations. Okay, and generally for observations, what they do is they take into account how people behave, how parents behave, and then they say, okay, it's this kind of style, this kind of style. Basically, they're just describing a behavior. But there's one big problem about these four parenting styles. Okay, of course, the most favorable one is the authoritative, whereby there's an interaction with the children. Many parenting forums will use this, but there is one problem with these four styles. What is that problem? Can anyone identify? Sorry? They totally leave God out of the picture. If you go for parenting forums, they'll probably introduce this to you as well. And one of the reasons why I'm bringing this thing in, to teach us to think in a way of what God says. You'll get many training from the world, and you will find that, oh, this is the be-all and end-all. Okay, I just follow this and I'll be fine. I'll just be an authoritative parent. And we do our whole life authoritative. You know what? The devil is happy. Why? Because you leave God totally out of the picture. Nothing wrong with that. The principles are right. But God is not in the focus. Okay? And that's something that we need to be very clear about. Oops. Okay, any questions up to that? Feel free to stop me, alright? If you're... What's the current scenario in this world? One of the things you need to understand about how even Christian communities try to teach parents. The problem is that oftentimes this teaching is taken from a journal done by psychologists. Now, nothing wrong with them. Psychologists' job mainly is to observe behavior and record them, and then try to make some conclusions about them. That's just about it. So I don't see any reason why we cannot use their observations. Does that make sense? But the problem with in life is not about just observations and do what you think is best. It's about putting God first and do what He thinks is best. Does that make sense? And we need to put God in the perspective. Okay, let's move on. Thanks, Jeremiah. Okay, so for children today, the current scenario in Singapore, very quickly, alright? What is the current scenario in Singapore? Who is the primary carer for the children? Anyone? Just throw out things. Who's a primary carer for children today? Childcare centers, okay? Childcare centers, they are April 2010, there's 816 childcare centers in Singapore, and assuming 50 children per childcare, that's 40,000 children in childcare. Okay. Now, what's the problem with childcare? There's nothing wrong with childcare, okay? And I just contradicted myself, didn't I? There's nothing wrong with childcare, but is there something inherently wrong in childcare? Nothing wrong with childcare. There's 40,000 children in childcare being run by whatever groups. I'm sure many of them involved in childcare. They do take care of children, do care for children, not all of them. But you know that children are being exposed. We may look at children as a statistic. But every one of those 40,000 children are individuals. Are individuals. With an individual soul. That if not brought up properly, may go down a wrong road. And then end up in an eternity without Christ. Okay? Okay, this is just childcare. What other things? Who are the other carers? Sorry? What? Domestic workers? Oh, wait, hang on. Okay, I'll just give you childcare one. This one is from NCOIS guidelines. Okay, this is the childcare concept. Okay, I was thinking, what is the purpose of childcare in Singapore? The infant and toddler care service shall offer a nurturing, caring, and safe environment for provision of quality childcare. Who defines quality? For infants and toddlers between 2 and 18 months. Okay, this is just for 2 and 18 months. The infant care service shall strive to meet the infant toddler physical, cognitive, and psychosocial needs by embracing a philosophical model of a needs-based program. The attachment relationship, the caregiver sensitive and responsive to infant toddler needs and cues, and the staff specialized training from the foundation of an infant toddler care program. Basically, if you really pick on every single thing that they actually are saying here, you will find that there are a lot of loopholes. Okay? Who is the most important person in the child's life? Who are they? Who's the most parents? Okay? Where are they? You know what they're trying to do? Give you second best. Now, I say that in context in Singapore, of course, government are trying to push people for to be in a workforce and things like that because of our small population. Not against that, but you know, at the expense of a child's soul. And that's something we need to think about, okay? Now, let's move on. Okay, then I think that there's a grandparents. Did I put it in? Let me just say. Oh, sorry. I think I missed out one. Okay. Do you know how many domestic workers are there in Singapore? 150,000. And I don't know when was that. 150,000 from the different countries of this world. That's one to every six households. That means every level of HDB, there will be one domestic worker in Singapore. Every single level in Singapore, there will be one domestic worker, or two or three. Okay? Grandparents is another one. Okay? And nannies. What is the priority of this? What is the priority of child cares? To take care of children? Generally, we're not making a judgment on that, but generally, what's the priority of child care? Take care of children, right? Really? Okay, who again? I'm glad I didn't say that. Someone said make money. Okay, that's one of the reasons, okay? What's the priority of domestic helpers that come to Singapore? They're here to earn. They're here to make money. Grandparents cannot say that. Okay. Grandparents just want to help, okay? And but generally, what do grandparents, okay, what's the priority of grandparents when they take care of their children? There's one there. What's the priority of grandparents? Generally. A lot of grandparents are very helpful, so I just want to help my child. Okay, so maybe it's a good motive and just want to kind of contribute. Okay? Now what's the priority of the nanny? Make money. If you think about three out of four of them, you have to pay for someone to take care of your child. Okay? Now why did I put all that in? It's very, very different from what God actually says. Let me just switch it on. Who should be raising the children in the family, okay? Let me just read there. The Bible says in Psalm 78, verse 5, "For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children." That's in the Old Testament. And the principle is, if it's in the Old Testament brought over to the New Testament, it is God's principle for the ages. In Ephesians 6:4, "And ye, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." The word parents, the word fathers there, comes from the Greek word pater, P-A-T-E-R, where we get the word patriarch from. Right? The Hebrew patriarch fathers. Okay? Now, it's interesting though, in the New Testament, the word fathers means parent, but also means father as the head. Okay? And after this, I'll tell you why that's important. The Bible is very clear on this. The principle of responsibility, moving on to the principle of responsibility now. Okay, I think just to kind of sum up the first part, impact on how we bring out our children, the different parenting styles will bring out different children. Okay? But we want to highlight this later on, alright? When we actually go into actual working with the children. But I'll just give you this first. Who is responsible for bringing up children? The Bible says in Judges 2 verse 20, "And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he said, and that these people had transgressed my covenant which I commanded their fathers, and have not hearkened unto my voice. And they were to prove Israel to them to know whether they would hearken unto the commandments of the Lord which he commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses." Every single instruction in the first five books of Moses was instructed to the fathers of the nation of Israel. Okay? And in 2 Kings 17 verse 13, "Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all the prophets, all the seers, saying, Truly ye, turn ye from your evil ways and keep my commandments and statutes according to the law which I commanded your fathers and which I sent to you by my servants the prophets, which I commanded your fathers in the day that I brought you forth out of Egypt." See, God always points back to the fact, the first time I gave you the law, it was all to the fathers. The fathers, okay? Fathers, we are ultimately responsible for our families in teaching them to be obedient to God. Okay, that's a spiritual aspect. I've not touched on the practical yet. But you know what? Fathers ultimately are the heads of the house. The heads of the household. And fathers are to be in charge of bringing up children. Because if you look back at the verse, ye fathers, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I'll touch on bring up next week, okay? Because I'm going to a little bit more. What is a biblical pattern for bringing up children? But you know what? Fathers, we're responsible. We're responsible for that. Okay? Any questions up to there? Now some may say, what if the fathers is not around? What if mothers, you take over? You take over. If the father is physically around, the fathers is responsible. But he's uninvolved. He's not involved. Well, then we need to do all we can to make him involved. But you know what? Mothers, if your dad's not around, take the responsibility. I'm going to train my children up. Okay? And that's very important. Okay? So, remember, Timothy was a product of such a home whereby Eunice and Lois was a mother and a grandmother of Timothy, the Greek father wasn't a Christian, but you know what? Paul was able to reach Timothy. Why? Because Eunice and Lois reached the child with the gospel by teaching him the word of God. Okay? So, unfortunately, today in our 20th century, 21st century, the ladies, unfortunately, are more faithful than the men. By God's grace, Ambassador Baptist Church, we need to change that. At least for this sector in our families. We need to change that. And teenagers, when you grow up, don't blame. Okay? I will show you a verse as we go along. You'll find that the fathers will not be responsible for the sins of the son, and the son will not be responsible for the sins of the father. Okay? And so what I'm saying to you children is don't blame anyone. Be responsible. I will grow up in the Lord. I will do what He says. And if God wants me to be the leader in my home as a man, I will be a man in the home. I don't know. I'm going to find out how. Okay? And thank God you're here today, and hopefully you'll find out a little bit more. Any questions? Okay, let's move on, okay? Now, we talk about the principle of responsibility. Parents, we must take that. Dads, we must hold that responsibility. We must be willing to hold that responsibility and say, that is my responsibility. I will bring up my children with the help of my wife. Okay? But then we move on to a second part called authority. What is authority? This is a very important principle. Now, children, you must pay attention. Okay? Are you ready? Okay. Thank you. Children, you have to pay attention here. This is very important. What is authority? Authority is the legal power or a right to command or to act. Okay, now why are we talking about authority here? I'll give you some Bible verse, and then I want to nail it down so that as children and as parents, we can understand what God's position is. Okay? In Genesis 18:19, God says, for I know him, the word him refers to Abraham, that he will command his children. The word command there is a military term, meaning that Abraham will be in charge and he will tell his household what to do. Okay? In Leviticus 19 verse 3, children, are you listening? Ye shall fear every man his mother and his father. You know what it means to fear? Ezra, do you know what it means to be afraid? Yeah. What is afraid? Means scared, right? You know what God says? Children, you are to fear your mother, and for the only time in the entire Bible, lest you misunderstand God, many times you find that it is honor your father and your mother, right? Many times in the Bible, for the first time in the Bible and the only time, it is not a misprint by God. God actually put the mother first in the sequence to remind us the mother is just as authoritative as the father in the family. They are co-workers in bringing up children. In other words, that's why when dad is out there working, mom is absolutely in charge. Okay, I want to highlight this because this is important. Because God, you shall fear every man his mother. Children, are you listening? Are you listening? You know what is fear? Fear is when Uncle Johnny walks into the room and everything stops. Or when daddy comes home and you know you haven't done your homework. And your heart is like boom, 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 boom. Okay? Then in Leviticus 19:32, the principle of authority, thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God. In Leviticus 19:32, very interestingly, maybe that's why God gave me white hairs very fast for my family. God is actually, by commandment, instituting respect for authority. You are to rise up before, in other words, when an old man walking, you're supposed to stand up. Give a respect to the older person. I think in the Philippines, you call them po, right? It's a mark of respect. For us, what we call them, uncle, or whatever, okay? And, or laoban, or something like that. But you know what, there's an institution of respect, okay? Next one. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 9, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and what? We gave them reverence. That's actually an assumed principle in the Bible. Paul, when he was writing Hebrews, says, look, you have fathers who disciplined you and you actually respected them. It's very clear in the Hebrew culture, the father was the patriarch of the family in charge. Okay? In 1 Timothy 3:4, Paul actually instituted a principle for the pastor that he must be one that, notice the word, rule well his own house. And notice, who is he supposed to rule? His children. Okay? So that means there is actually the authority already very clearly spelled out in the Bible. Okay? The principle of authority, children, listen carefully as well as for us. The father and the mother has been given designated authority of the house, and therefore the authority within the family to carry out the bring up of children. Both the father and the mother has the authority to command, to instruct, to discipline those within the household. This is God ordained. This is a principle by God. Children, are you listening? This is a principle that if you disobey your parents, you disobey God. Clear as mud. It's not clear as mud. The Bible is very clear. When you actually disobey your parents, you disobey God. Full stop. Okay? Because it's ordained by God. Do you realize the word father and the mother is not just a name you call, it's a title? Like pastor, like policeman, like president. The word father and mother is actually a title. That's why honor thy father and mother. That's why father and mothers can have different names. Like Charles and Jesse and... But the word father... Why do you call father? It's a title. But today the title is like... In the Western countries, many of them call their parents by the first name. Hey, Charles. That is total disrespect. Okay? Okay, children, don't you ever call. Sometimes my children will just accidentally call, right? They will call Papa or whatever. It is God-ordained authority. You must understand this, children. Parents first, okay? Not children. Parents, God has given you the authority to discipline. Meaning, when you do something that is wrong, God actually gave the authority to the parents to execute judgment. Okay? Well, this is the authority that God gives. But of course, God also put boundaries to protect the child as well. Okay? Any questions up to there? Any questions? Alright. Any questions? No questions? So there will be no problems with the children from now on, right? Right? No problems with the children from now on, right? Okay, you nod your head. So when Mama said, no more ketchup. Only... you will say, yes, ma'am. I'm serious. That's what it means, you know? That's what it means. It's very important. You realize that if you would follow this, if you would just follow this instruction by God, there will be peace on earth, goodwill to men. The family will be at peace. Total peace. Yes? But as dads and moms, we have to be clear what we have to teach them. Alright? And we have to be clear that we don't actually provoke them to anger as well. Alright? So that is a very clear principle. Any questions? Alright, let's move on. We're going to move on to child training. Okay? We're going to talk about child. Any questions there? Principle of responsibility, principle of authority. Now, what is child training? Okay, the next one. What is child training? Okay, let me ask just for participation. What is teaching? Anyone? What is teaching? I'll give you all answers there, really, right? Okay, can you read that? Teaching is to... Okay, what's teaching? Alright. The difference between teaching... is supposed to be a box here. But never mind. Teaching is to give knowledge to the child that is beyond himself. Example, when, let's say, when Ezra was young, okay, Ezra never knew about God. Example. But through the Felicia or Brother Chahing, they talk about Noah's Ark. Okay? He wasn't there before, but teaching is when Felicia and Brother Chahing tell Ezra there is such a thing as Noah's Ark. And so, he receives that as new teaching. Okay? It's head knowledge. Okay? That's teaching. Training, on the other hand, is the shaping, the developing, and the controlling of a child's personal faculties and powers. Okay, what does all that mean? Okay, I'll give you a comparison. Teaching is to cause to know. They don't know, now they know. Whereas training is to cause to do what they already know. Example, children, do you know how to brush your teeth? Who knows how to brush your teeth? Okay. Now, how many of you children brush your teeth properly? You sure? Okay. what I do with one of my children now is every time the person, the child actually brushes the teeth, I will get the person, I must be very clear, the person to open the mouth so I can smell. Initially, the person doesn't use toothpaste. But after much gentle encouragement and training, within a week, the person will come to me, Papa. And it's all great smell. So what I've done is I've trained the child to brush the teeth with toothpaste. But the next step is to ensure it doesn't turn yellow. Because she may be eating the toothpaste, I don't know. Does it make sense? It's a cause to do. Brush the child knows to brush teeth, but how to do it is a different thing, okay? Another one, the teaching gives knowledge, training gives skill. Teaching fills the mind, training shapes the habits of life. Yala, I know, don't tell me already. Have you heard that before? Mama, don't tell me again, I know. Then our parents will be looking at him, then do. Aiya, tired lah. And then parents say, I'm sorry, it's here to do. Okay lah. What the parent is doing is training. And children, I'm sorry God put you in Ambassador Baptist Church. Because our parents believe in training, not just teaching. You know, many families, many people teach, they tell, but not many train. In other words, the children can just don't do it and say, okay, Lord, you know what they'll say? He's like that one. Or that, God is like that also. He's holy and He's going to deal with you as well. Okay, training. Teaching is, it brings to the child what he did not have before, but training enables the child to make use of what he already has. Does that make sense? As a parent, you must see the difference, because if the child doesn't know, then we need to teach. But if the child knows but doesn't do, then we need to train. Okay? Any questions? Please feel free to stop me, okay? It's a bit black. training and teaching must go together in the wise upbringing of any and every child. He's taken for a little bit of Christian character. I was trying to call Tabernacle and maybe order a few in. I found that book very, very useful. Only 5 chapters, but it goes into a lot of details about this book. Alright? A Little Book of Christian Character. Some of you may have it. How many of you have this book? The Little Book of Christian Character? If you don't have it, it's readable. It's just about like that. You know, I've got 2. Another one, Hints for Child's Training. I wanted to bring it today, but I didn't. But training and teaching must go together in any wise upbringing a child. You cannot teach your child, but don't train the child. Okay? And the child will grow up to be a person who knows a lot, but doesn't do. And many children are like that. Many parents are like that one. You say, the parents will say, actually, they know one, but they just don't want to do. And that's why God say, parents, you are supposed to teach them to do. Alright, that's a training part, alright? Okay? Alright, oops. Okay, so any questions up to there? Okay, so I want to kind of lay a bit of foundation before I go into next week, alright? Okay, what must we teach our children? Remember I told you 3 things you must all teach your children? These are the 3 things. Relationships, then skills. And oftentimes I found, at least in my family, when the relationship is right and the skills will come, you can give any content to the child can learn. Okay? Now let me just go into a little bit of what does it mean, okay? The word relationship, taken from Webster's 1828, the dictionary, is a relation connecting or binding participants in a relationship. In other words, like for example, Ezra and grandfather. So Ezra must have a close relationship to the chair now. Ezra, sit down. Yeah. Good, okay? Good relationship with the chair. Okay? So relationship... has to do with participants in a relationship, okay? Number one, with God. It's interesting, the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 5:20, be reconciled to God, okay? Can I say your entire life is a mess if you do not reconcile with God on the first level, okay? So, okay, reconciliation with God. Okay, once you happen there, relationship. Number two, your relationship with your parents. Relationship with your parents. Now, in our relationship with our parents as growing up children, children needs to learn. I will actually touch on next week, what do children need to learn? Go a little bit into specifics. Example, respect for authority. When mommy say one means one, two means two. Eat your food at the table means eat your food at the table, not eat your food and run all over the place. Alright, that kind of thing. Simple thing. Eat your food when there's rice and soup. You don't ask for noodles. You just eat what is given to you. I like the book just now. And one of the principles I've learned. Every child can be trained to do what you tell them to do. From young. That's why children as young as 6 and 7 years old can become killers. Many of the countries get the young children and they indoctrinate them and they train them to be professional killers. I saw one documentary about a 6-year-old during the Vietnam War. Say hi to American GI, you know, American GI young. And then after American GI say hi, turn around, he took a knife and stabbed him. And he walked away. And they don't feel anything about it because they are trained. And that's part and parcel of them. And children, can I say this? No, parents, can I say this? Your children's character are generally formed by 5 for the rest of their lives. That is scary. By 5. Because a lot of the experiences they have at the age of 5, by the age of 5, they actually make decisions because they've got to cope. Even if you can't handle it properly, it sets the tone for the rest of their lives. And the rest of their life is kind of trying to adjust a little bit here and there. That's why a personal relationship with Jesus Christ can change everything. Does it make sense? You know, you're low down, you may feel so-called negative and you don't have confidence, but when you have the Lord Jesus Christ, you have confidence in Christ. Does it make sense? Alright? And I know in some relationship with parents, I'm giving you the ideal, okay? This world is not ideal. We have families whereby parents may not be 100% there. And so in terms of that And then it could be like one parent is not around anymore and their parent has to work very hard and the children have no opportunity to. And so there's a lot of this crisis in terms of their relationships, okay? But you know what? Relationships are still important. And that's where God comes in as the Heavenly Father. And when a person learns to put their faith in Christ, no matter what relationships are spoiled in this world, they know there's one stable relationship that doesn't change, their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? So the relationship with siblings, okay? And we have this phenomenon in psychology called sibling rivalry. Now, I want, some parents say, you know, I buy something, I must always buy one pair on. Okay, if I buy for one person, that person sure won, all right, or something like that, or maybe the older one has always had the attention, and then the younger one comes, and then some parents say, yeah, when the younger one comes, he keep wanting, pa-pa-pa-pa-pa-pa. It used to be not like that, for example, because the first child was the center of the universe in that family, but when the second one came, there was that challenge. You know what? Even with the relationships, unless the child knows how to operate in the family with one another, the relationships outside will be affected as well, okay? And then you have your relationship, extended families, your grandparents. How do you treat your grandparents? Like how your grandparents treat you? Your grandparents is always doting. And one of the... Okay, I'll just be honest. I know there's one grandparent here. We need to be careful because sometimes grandparents can sabotage the family. I'm not saying you. Okay? And as grandparents, one of the things, biblically speaking, put it this way, okay? Let's put things in perspective. In the Old Testament, the grandfather is oftentimes the patriarch of the family. And the father continues to honor him. But the father also knows that he has his own family, that God says he is to be in charge of. And as grandparents, we can offer advice, but we do not interfere. Because Christ is the head of the man, not the head of the grandfather, and then the father. Does that make sense? So every family is different. And as a church also, when we give advice and try to help, we cannot interfere in domestic affairs, simply because the church is a church. The family is a family. But the church and family is supposed to work together. Okay? But you know, when it comes to making decisions, the family has to decide. The church can help. Okay? With the extended families, you need to be very, very careful, okay? With external people, your neighbors, the people around you, your helpers also, and then with friends, okay? The relationship with friends must also be taken into account, okay? The next one. Skills, okay? What is skills? Why? Skills is the familiar knowledge of any other science united with a readiness and dexterity in execution. Basically, big words by Webster, it's basically, you know what to do and you know how to do it. That's basically what it means. Okay, you know how to do, you know what to do, and you know how to do it. That's a skill. Okay, what are some skills? How to write. Okay, one skill is how to write. Another skill, how to dress up. How to organize your table. How to brush your teeth. How to do the quiet time. Okay, these are skills that children need to learn. How to tie shoelace. I have seen one when I was in the clinic. I think I shared with you before, whereby when it's time to leave, the child at 4 years old will just do this. Sit on the floor and put his leg up. Expecting the maid, the domestic helper, to wear for him. So what I did was, Auntie, stop. You do. And the child can actually do it. Okay? They can actually do it. I was, 1 week ago, I was doing a consultancy, I was observing, this is child with her right hand paralyzed, and she was wearing her shoes with one hand. So you can't tell me, with two hands, you cannot wear your own shoes. Children, if God gives you two legs, use it, walk. Okay? And when children do this, Dad say, no, you walk. I'm helping the parents here. Because we need to teach our children that if there's certain things they can do it, they do it for themselves. But children Can you just listen to this? Parents won't be around sometimes for you. What you can do, do it for yourself. You will honor them and you make them proud. But you know you help them too. Okay? So these are the skills, okay? Once your relationship is right, the skills will come. And then finally, content, often in plural content, that which is contained, just big word, basically content is something, information within subjects, for example, computer information, history, social studies, and maths. If a child has a good relationship with a teacher, for example, okay, and he has the skill of studying, for any subjects you give the child will know what to do. Does that make sense? Okay, so in that order, alright, responsibilities, skills, and the content. So it's very important for us to take note that the relationship is a very important starting point. Very important starting point. And it's important for us to understand that if that part is broken, skills can come, but sometimes the child doesn't want to learn because the relationship was broken somewhere. Okay? Many children lose out on skills and content because as parents we forget that they need to be encouraged, they need affirmation as well. Okay? So, in summary, any questions up to there? In summary? We do have tremendous impact, all right, on how we bring up children. Principle of responsibility, fathers, we are responsible for the raising of our children in our house. Okay? The principle of authority, we as parents are given the authority to bring up children. And children, you are given the responsibility of obeying your parents. Disobedience to parents equals disobedience to God. That's what the Bible teaches very firmly. Okay? Now, I just want to make a comment there. Parents, remember, the authority that God gives us, we are God's representatives to take care of the children. We don't abuse our authority. We use it. And children, when our parents have to discipline us, recognize this. It's because God told parents to do so. So if the parents... Just because you disobey your parents doesn't mean the parents must not disobey God. The parents must carry out discipline. Okay? We'll talk about the discipline one, I think, probably the third week. Okay? Definition of child training is we need to train our child the shaping, the developing, and the controlling of a child's personal faculties and powers. Proverbs 22, verse 6, I think we all know that verse. Train up a child in the way it should go. And when he's old, he will not depart from it. God did not just say, teach your child. God says, train your child. In other words, he is not only to know the word, he's supposed to do it. And so when parents ask you to do certain things, it's not because they don't love you, it's because they want to be obedient to God. And when you're obedient to them, you're obedient to God. And you grow up being obedient to God, through them, you grow up to be obedient to God when God calls you to do something for him. Does that make sense? If you choose not to be obedient to God now, you will not be obedient to your teachers next time. And when you get into society, you will not be obedient to authority. Brother Jeremiah. Jeremiah actually did a successful living in Proverbs in his Christian schooling. And there was one whole booklet, all right, for teenagers on authority alone. And I like the way they say, when you're young, God puts you in a family whereby the authority are parents. Parents are supposed to love their children. And so when the children so-called break the law, they have the opportunity to learn what is right and wrong inside the family. And they don't have to suffer the consequences. Isn't that right? When parents when children disobey, yeah, the parents may spank them. After that, it's over. Nothing much after that. When the children go to school, let's say if they're not homeschool, they go to school outside. But then they break a school rule. Now there are a little bit more consequences already. But teachers are generally still very helpful. They try to help. But there will be consequences to the child. Right? Let's say the children don't want to listen. You go on to teenagers. And then you get into trouble with the law. By the time you reach that time, under a certain age, they may not send you to prison. or you have to go for Reformation teaching. Generally, people are still a bit kinder. But you know what? Can you see that the love part is getting less and less? When you get to the adult stage, when you break the law, you're sent to prison. The police that handcuff you is someone say, I'm handcuffing you because I love you. The police is going to say, I'm handcuffing you because you broke the law. Are you going to face a judge? Okay? Let's say even as you break the law and you're being punished in prison and you refuse to change, you know who's the next person you're going to meet? God. And at time when we meet God, God will say, I give you your parents. I give you your teacher. I give you Reformation teaching. I give you the police officer, and still you will not turn. I'm sorry, when you reach here, it's appointed unto man once to die. And after that, what? The judgment. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. Parents, when we bring up our children, discipline, you can protect them from the fires of hell. That is what Solomon means when he says, you need to spend your child betimes, and you will save his soul from hell. Because when a child grow up without understanding there are consequences to their actions, they can do what they want. They will grow up thinking that's the same way. That's why, I'm sorry children, Pastor Johnny is very strict with certain rules. Because, for example, you come to church is to worship God. We don't run around and play. There's a place to play. We do cater for that. But you know what? Some children will deliberately run out because there is an irreverence for the house of God. And that cannot be tolerated. I'm thankful parents are getting their children to sit in to worship God so that when the children grow up, they understand that worship of God means I sit down, I listen, and I worship God. I don't really understand what's happening. But by looking around, hopefully they learn the right attitudes of worship. Okay? And so, parents get this. If we don't train our child properly, we might lose them eternally. That's basically the message. That's why as parents we need the responsibility, put in our authority that God has given to us, and then understand the difference between teaching and training. Don't just teach, we need to train. I'll give you an illustration. Last time when I was younger, and even during a shepherd group, okay, during a shepherd group, when one of my children misbehaved, I'll stop the shepherd group and deal with them straight away. Okay? I accomplished two things. Number one, my children recognize that I will not tolerate that under any circumstances. Number two, it shows the shepherd group members don't try to break that. There was one situation whereby I think it was Jeremiah. She was having a sore throat, so I said no love letters, and so someone actually kindly gave a love letter. I saw Jeremiah kitchen. After that, the lady was kind of okay. I don't want to do it again. And you know what, as a church, we need to support one another, okay? Okay, children, when your friend is being disciplined, don't hang around. Unless you want to join in. Okay? Okay, we need to support our families when they want to do what is right and discipline children. You know, all of us, we just leave and let the parents do what they need to do in obedience to God, okay? Alright, any questions? Okay, three things to teach our children: relationships, skills, and content. I'll touch more probably next. Okay, next week I failed to put in one more.